cross for our sins and rose again a third day. My name is Brother Ed, and I'm very blessed to be able to be here in California at Oceanside Simple Faith Baptist Church with Pastor Carlos Almanza. And what a blessing to be here with his wife as well, Sister Katie. And it was just a blessing to be here. The time I arrived, the stay that I had was just a huge blessing. Carlos and his wife has just been so gracious to me since I got down here. They gave me a package, a little care package when I got here. And a most memorable thing, it's always nice to have that. And I was in that little basket of treats that they gave me. And also thank you to the church as well for supplying this for me as I'm staying down here in Oceanside. And I was not lacking, amen. I praise the Lord for Pastor Carlos and the graciousness and the kindness bringing me around Oceanside. Got to do some sightseeing. Just I'll give you a little thing real quick on that. Then we'll get into our introduction of the book of Jonah. But just a really good blessing coming down here and just seeing the church. We arrived here at the church, got to look at the church a little bit. What a nice building you guys have here. And got to do some sightseeing in Oceanside. Got to see some places where you guys do witnessing and holding signs, track passing. What a blessing. Just a harvest field of people down here that you definitely got great soul-winning opportunities, great witnessing opportunities for the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys are not lacking. I've been to places where we're out in the middle of the country and there's like five people pass by in like 1 hour. You know, it's like, okay, you know, we're just kind of holding a sign for the traffic. But down here, you are not lacking. You can do some good one-on-one witnessing. You don't have to know a lot of Bible. Just give them your testimony. Tell them the love you have for the Lord and the fact that he saved you from your sins. And that's all I do. You don't have to be a theologist to go witnessing. You don't have to be this big, huge head of knowledge, of Bible knowledge. Just don't put that on yourself. And any person that's saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ is qualified to tell any lost soul about Jesus. And I'll tell you this, I got to say this before I start the lesson. We did some witnessing yesterday, and Carlos and Katie brought me downtown, and we went down by the ocean side there, and what a great place. You know, we try to find a little spot of shade so we could not be too hot and sweaty, but people were coming by, and I saw Carlos engaged in some great conversations. Katie's over there passing out gospel tracts, trying to talk to people, and she got a lot of engagements as well in conversations. And then I did my best, and you know, people don't like a bald guy, especially a bald guy yelling and screaming and preaching Jesus saves, but I did my best, and I tried to show the love and the kindness. But you know, sometimes if people just don't want the gospel, or they just want to make fun of the gospel. But even though you hear those stories, just know this. There's a lot more stories of indifferent people that don't even respond at all. I mean, you'll have those few cases where people respond and you get to talk to them. And then you'll have other cases where people heckle you or they want to be rude to you. But then you have many, 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 many more cases where people are just indifferent. They're just walking by. So don't think that you hear just a few bad stories, oh, it's all bad. Or if you hear a few good stories, it's all good. It's versatile out there. Everybody's different. You can't put everybody in a box. And you know as well as I do, you don't want to be thrown in a box. There's a way you came to Jesus Christ. And a little bit of understanding, a little bit of humility, humble heart. And you're just like, you know what? I want to believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose again a third day. I'm so glad that he cares enough about us. No matter what state we're in, no matter how far in life we're gone, Jesus Christ is there as a gentleman waiting for you and anybody that's out there in the world today. So let's go ahead and get started. I thought that was a blessing to be able to give you an update on my time here. I'm only going to be here for now less than a week, and I just want to do my best to be a blessing to Carlos, but they've outdid me. They've been a huge blessing to me, and praise the Lord for that. So let's go ahead and start with prayer. Real quick prayer here. Dear Lord, God, Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for sending your Son, proving your goodness to us each and every day, your long-suffering, your kindness, and your goodness. And we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for salvation that only comes in Christ. Thank you for this church, Father. I pray that for each soul that's here today, that, Father, you'd let them grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you for Pastor Carlos and his wife. And, Father, pray that you continue to bless them each and every day. Bless the lesson today as well. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, amen. All right. So I got way less than 30 minutes now, but I thought it was worth me saying all that. What a blessing being here. And so this will be my introduction to the book of Jonah. And this is what I wanted to do when talking with Brother Carlos about coming down. I wanted to go through this book of Jonah. Really, real discouraging. But discouraging in the sense that we can learn from it and be encouraged to look at the mistakes that maybe Jonah made, look at the mistakes on his walk with the Lord, and learn from them and actually get some encouraging thoughts throughout this book, at least certain parts of the book that we're going to be able to cover, because I won't be able to cover everything. It's just too much to cover in the short amount of time I'm going to be here. So let's start off with this in the book of Jonah. And I know this is the introduction, so we're not going to necessarily go verse by verse right now. I'm just going to give you some principles and some thoughts to look at as we get into the book of Jonah when we actually do the service, okay? And this will come after the Sunday school class. I want you to understand that Book of Jonah, we are in the Old Testament, and you need to understand that. Now, people have this idea that if it's in the Old Testament, it doesn't apply to us. And I've dealt with this school of thought for many, many years. I even fell into that idealism when I first got saved. I'm like, you know, I don't need the whole Bible. All I need is the New Testament, because that's where Jesus came. And God did away with the Old Testament, so we don't need it anymore. But these are all false ideas. You need the whole Bible. The New Testament complements the Old Testament. The Old Testament complements the New Testament. I understand if you want to give away New Testaments, there's nothing wrong with that. Some of the Word of God is better than none of the Word of God. But if I want to have the Word of God, I'd rather have all the Word of God. Okay, now the reason why is because if you only have a New Testament, all you're going to be able to learn about is Jesus. Now, what's Jesus going to be doing in his first advent, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? All he's going to be doing is doing a whole lot of dealing with Pharisees and his own disciples, but he's going to be dealing with them out of principles out of the Old Testament. And as you're reading the New Testament, you're going to be like, well, where's that written? Jesus keeps talking about it's written, it's written, it's written. Well, where's, I don't have that. All I have, I start with Matthew, but where's all that stuff written at? And then you see what happens? You're just going to be confused. I like the idea that when somebody first gets saved and, you know, you may be dealing with them and you're telling them, hey, you know, just read the book of John and read 1 John. And I know I've did that too, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, I'd rather have them have some of the Word of God than none, or direct them to something where they can understand salvation a little bit better. But don't mistake for one instance that John and 1 John is all they need. You understand? If you want to give them the simplicity of the gospel, then go through some verses. Give them the Romans Road. I mean, I give people the Romans Road all the time. But I always tell them, Romans Road is great, but you can't really fully grasp the Romans Road until you understand the Old Testament. So remember, these are all good things to help people to understand salvation, but you also want them to understand the character of God and why you need salvation. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? See, John's great. It's not going to answer all the questions. First John's great. It's not going to answer all the questions. You got to have all the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay. So just wanted to start off with that. Now go to 1 Corinthians 10:11. Even though we're doing an introduction, we're going to get into some principles here about understanding why we can go to the Old Testament and apply principles for the New Testament church. Because understanding is key, right? I mean, we can know a lot of Bible verses, but if we don't understand how to use them, how to practically use them every day in our lives, they're not going to be profitable to us. So it doesn't matter how much Bible you know, you've got to know how to read your Bible, how to rightly divide your Bible, okay? So 1 Corinthians 10:11, look what it says. Now, all these things happen unto them for in samples. Now, in samples is just a big word. People like to call it an archaic word. But in samples just means plurality of example. See, in old Elizabethan English, they wouldn't say examples. Even though you'll find verses in the Bible that say examples, okay? This is an alternate word. It's interchangeable, okay? In samples is multiple use of the word of example, okay? So now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for what? Our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, as you can see, Brother Ed just cherry-picked a verse. He just grabbed the verse and he said, man, just pulled it out of its context. Or did I? This verse right here is proving that everything in the Old Testament can be used for our admonition. Everything written in the past. Now, I'm going to prove this, okay? Because I told you, the introduction for Jonah. I want to understand the principle that we can go to Jonah and gain some great practical truths, and as well as any other book in the Old Testament, okay? So, I want you to do this. You're already in 1 Corinthians 10, right? Go back to verse 1. See how we do this? See, a lot of preachers don't do that. They're like, they pull a verse and they just preach it to you, and then they just direct it however they see it. Well, see, the Lord showed me this, the Lord showed me that. No, the Lord showed you the context. So go to verse 1, and we're going to read the context of what is meant by verse 11. So watch this. 1 Corinthians 10:1, if you're not there. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Get yourself a King James Bible. Anything else is not the word of God, okay? So, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, when did that happen? In the New Testament or the Old Testament? Come on. Our fathers, past tense, the patriarchs, right? Past tense. How that all our fathers were under the cloud. When did the under the cloud happen? All passed through the sea. The Red Sea, right? When did the Red Sea crossing happen? Little scream there for the Bible, amen. We'll take that as a cheering for the Word of God, amen. All right. We have Old Testament right here. That's what we're getting. So if we have Old Testament here, then we only have the New Testament. How will we ever gain more knowledge of what's being said in 1 Corinthians 10 as Paul the Apostle himself is preaching or writing a letter here to the church of Corinth and trying to admonish them in the Word of God? How will they ever know if they don't have the Old Testament? They will never know this truth. So if all you had in the world was a New Testament, there's going to be a wealth of knowledge you will never ever learn out of the Old Testament. You are limited in your knowledge. But now you have the Old Testament and the New Testament, now you can shed the light of everything through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, shed all the light that was given in the New Testament, and all that light is shining now on the Old Testament. Now you're not just like an Old Testament Jew that never knew Jesus Christ, and you're just reading all these things ignorantly in the Old Testament. Now you have the light of the New Testament where Christ, where the apostles who have the light of God the Father and the knowledge, correct knowledge, to shed light on the Old Testament. Now when you read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, so much understanding can be revealed to you now through the Holy Spirit. Now look, verse 2. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Where's Moses? New Testament, Old Testament? Old Testament. Don't neglect your Old Testament, because we got a whole explanation of Old Testament stuff we're talking about right now. If you don't have your Old Testament, you are stuck in a hard place here. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock, see, if you don't have the New Testament, you'll never know this, that rock was Christ. So those that only have the Old Testament are limited, because they don't have the New Testament to shed light on everything that Christ was in the Old Testament, because you only learn about that in the New Testament. But then if you only have a New Testament, you'll never learn about all the situational things that happened in the nation of Israel that we could use and learn from to apply to the church. So it's so important. You have an Old Testament and you have a New Testament, and both complement each other. Both can admonish the church. Both can reveal knowledge for the church, knowledge for conduct that we practice every day as Christians in New Testament Christian conduct. So important that you take both Old and New Testament as a whole. One unit, one revealing of God's word, one book containing 66 books. All 66 books reveal themselves as one book. They all coincide with one another. They all are in continuity one with another. There's no contradictions in the Bible. There's contradictions in our understanding when we go to the Bible, but we have to learn more and more every day. As Pastor Carlos preaches to you all the time behind this pulpit, he teaches you more and more and more, and you can't teach everything at one time. It would be great if we could. It would be great if we all had infinite minds where Brother Carlos can get up here and preach, and we can take in every truth all at once and then organize it in our universal brains and understand everything at once. That'd be great, but that's just not the case. So you got to start off, you know, one principle, another principle, come to church another time, another principle, come to church another time, another principle. So do you see that it's important to have consistency and coming to church all the time? You know, you come, don't just say, I got to take it or leave it, Christian life, where I'm just going to come to church when it's convenient. You ought to make church a priority, because the more you get church, the more the pastor can come up here and preach to you, and he'll say, you remember the principle last week? Well, it coincides with the principle we're going to learn this week, and you're going to get all these principles. You're going to put them all together, and then you're going to say to yourself, you know what? This just isn't some random truths here and there that don't make no sense when it comes down to it. The more you stay in church, the more consistency you get, the more consistency and understanding you're going to get in this Holy Bible. And the more consistency you get of learning the Bible truths and seeing how they fit together from all the times you've been coming to church, you know what's going to happen? In your mind, it's like a map in your mind. Everything starts being revealed. You're like, man, I understand eternity past a lot better now. I understand the present day church right now and what we should be doing, and all the different intricacies in the Bible that I used to think were hard. Everything has its place. Everything's starting to make sense. And then when you read your Bible now, like in the past, when you did your Bible reading, you didn't really have any understanding. Now it's like, I know that my Bible reading is more enjoyable now. I've been going to church from a man that knows more than I do. And he can put everything where it needs to be to teach me, because pastors are teachers, and they're to teach you how to read your Bible, how to apply the Bible to your life. And that's why he teaches you the historical context of the Word of God, not only to know the history, but to be able to apply it to your life. And when you know that, now when you're at home with your family, you can say, son, why are you doing that? You ought not do that. You can direct your family and correct moralities and righteousness and ethics in your household, and you can do it correctly by the Bible. So it's so important that you understand that it's not just coming to church, it's a take it or leave it kind of a thing. It should be just as mandatory as you go into a 9-to-5 job every day. Say, well, if I don't work, I don't eat. Well, if you don't get this Bible, how are you going to raise your family correctly? How are you going to have a successful marriage? It just is not going to happen. And so then and then later on down the road, you ask yourself the question, why is my life in shambles? As Jonah. Remember, we're talking about Jonah too. Why is my life all tore up? It's a little bit of obedience. God's not asking a lot. Care about somebody else. I don't always care about myself. Care about my wife. No, we don't always have to get in that argument. I could take her wrong. Even though I know I'm right, I can take her wrong. I can take it wrong. You know why? Because I love my wife. Christ loved the church. You know what the church is always saying? But Lord, I'm right. I'm right, Lord. You know what the Lord Jesus says? I still got grace for you. I still got grace for you. But wouldn't it be better if we as the church would say, you know, no, Lord, well, we're the bride all together, collectively, we're the bride. But we say, Lord, you're the groom, But you're not just any groom. You're the God of the universe. You're right. We're wrong. And what a blessing to his heart that would be if we could just understand that we're not always right. Sometimes we're actually wrong and we need to be corrected by the word of God. So think about this. Bigger picture, coming to church, being faithful to church. You know, Jonah, if maybe, you know, we don't know all these details about Jonah, but if Jonah, maybe if he would have been around the word of God more, maybe going to synagogue a little bit more, maybe listening to the Old Testament, all the prophecies being preached, the law preached. I don't believe every Israelite was ignorant and every Israelite didn't understand anything at all. That would be unreasonable to say. But we don't read about them. We don't read about them. It's possible, but we don't read about them. But I want you to put that in your heart. The more I obey the word of God, the more God can use me. The more I'm around believers. There's not a whole lot of us in here. Not a whole lot of us in here. Which means more so we should be around each other more. Because this world will dry you out. They will tell you, don't go to church. Don't learn the Bible. Just be like us. There's more influence out there for you to be like them than an influence in here to be like us. That's why we need each other. When Carlos has these doors open, we all ought to be here. Every time the doors are open, we ought to be here, fellowshipping with another, asking questions, you know, doing stuff for one another, praying for one another. And we really miss the mark a lot of times. And believe it or not, you know, we could invite people, because that's what we were doing on Saturday, inviting people in here to the church. And you know what? They probably come over here and step inside this building and say, this is all you got? I'm not coming. I've had a lot of people do that when we would visit other churches that had few people. And you know what? It's not about the amount of people you have in your church. It's about the quality of the preaching of the word of God. So you might have a few believers in here. But if they're believing the word of God, they're believing the Bible, they're believing on Jesus Christ, they have the right foundation of salvation, it's better to have the quality of a few believers fellowshipping one with another than to have a whole room of people right here that could care less about what the Bible says and would walk out that door if Carlos preached a single verse on Christian conduct. See what I'm saying? It's not about quantity. It's about quality. Think about this. Here's a good thought. People think that the more numbers you have, you're right with God. That's not necessarily the case, because there's definitely a lot of Muslims in the world, but it don't mean they're right. There's a lot of Catholics in the world. You know, they have a lot. They have huge churches. They've got a lot of money. They've got a capital. They've got, in Rome is their capital. You know, they've got a Vatican and all this. They got all that money. They got all those people, but that don't mean they're right. Now, let's talk about the Lord. How many people were left there at the cross when Jesus died on that cross? How many people were there? The very King of Glory, the great high priest, the sinless one, fully God, fully man, born of the Virgin Mary, was on that cross. How many disciples were there, left there? There wasn't a lot of numbers there, was there? Not a lot of numbers. So you can't trust in numbers. So don't get discouraged. From what Pastor Carlos said, church been here 5 years. 5 years. You would say to yourself, thank you. You would say to yourself, in 5 years, brother, what have you been doing over here? 5 years you've been here. Man, you're lazy. You're slothful. Look at the people in here. There's nobody in here. What's wrong with you? Better be careful. Better be careful with that. The Lord Jesus Christ is watching that. This man right here is giving his heart to the ministry. He's giving his family to the ministry. And he's going out there. He's witnessing. He's not standing idle. He's not sitting there saying, well, you guys do it. You know, when I went out there on Saturday with him and his wife, they were out there doing their best to give each and every person the correct gospel in love and in truth. And when I'm out there, you know what I see in him? I see in him that just says, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, I would do it. And I want to do it the way you want me to do it. I'm over here witnessing to a guy. He jumps in and gets in my way. He's angry at me because I'm telling him, I'm trying to witness to a guy over here and you're getting in my way, you know? You know what Carlos does? He goes in there, smooths that thing out, talks to that guy. They end up shaking hands. They end up leaving on good terms. You know why? Because Carlos cares. He wants a good testimony in the city. I would get behind any man that would do that. I would support any man. But the way I saw Carlos conduct himself, the way I saw his wife conduct herself, I would support any man that did that. If I lived in Oceanside, California, I don't care how big these churches are all around this town, I'd be right here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. I'd let Carlos teach me. It's a good brother. You got a good brother here. I don't know how many people came and gone in this place. I don't know if they came for whatever reason, but I do know anybody that would be under Pastor Carlos's teaching would walk away with something more than they had when they came here. And what a blessing. What a blessing. That's not in every church. It's not in every church like that. You are blessed to have a man here that's, you know, despite the numbers, he's willing to stay here. He's willing to stick it out. No matter how many people come and no matter how many people go, I'm going to make sure that I'm right with the Lord, that I'm doing what he wants me to do. And that's the heart of Carlos and his wife. And what a blessing it is. So what we learned a little bit here, Old Testament, legitimate for the New Testament church. Don't look at numbers, look at quality. And when dealing with people, always trust the word of God. Always, because that's my experience around Carlos and his wife. They're out there, they're not trying to go to their emotions and feelings. They're trying to go by the word of God. But listen, in the kindness of the fruits of the Spirit, always. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So there's a little opening there. I wanted to give you some principle there. And a lot of that idealism will go into the book of Jonah as we open up. And we're going to get into it verse by verse. We only hit like maybe one verse. I understand that. But when we get to the book of Jonah, we're going to be hitting this thing verse by verse. I'm going to do my best to get through as much material as we can. And hopefully, maybe, and I'm always hopeful. I'm always prayerful about maybe, feel like, brother, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm serious. To bring a revival in your heart, to bring a revival in your heart, to gain a love for God. You already have a love of God. You're here today. You love God. But to gain more of a love of God that will reach from now till eternity. So I'll just close right there. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for your Bible that we're not left in darkness, not knowing what we are to do. But Father, you're there for us each and every day. Thank you for your only begotten Son, the only mediator between God and man. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, giving us hope and real peace. And thank you for this lesson. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.